The Ask Theory podcast shines the spotlight on Pinoy scientists from various scientific disciplines. Listen to some of the country's best scientific minds as they explain what they do in simple terms and share fascinating stories of how they got into science, the incredible things they've learned about the world around us, and so much more. Timothy James D. McCallie is a science journalist, communicator, and fictionist. He is the founding editor of GMA News Online's Science and Technology section and currently heads the University of the Philippines Diliman Science Communication Team. He received his master's degree in science writing from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology on a Fulbright scholarship and his BA English degree in creative writing from the University of the Philippines. He is also an alumnus of the Clarion Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Workshop under the Arthur C. Clarke Center for Human Imagination. Last but not the least, he is a good friend and my mentor in science communication. TJ, welcome to the Ask Theory podcast at last.
Hi, hello, hello. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Ren, for agreeing on such short notice. I actually just told TJ that I would be interviewing him yesterday and he gamely agreed. So, how did you fall in love with science?
Well, I was a geek from the get-go. Growing up, I think I was blessed to be born into a family that really encouraged me to ask questions about the world. And I had a grandfather and parents who were really supportive of that curiosity. You know, like, there were no stupid questions. Like, you know, things like, why is the sky blue? Why do plants grow up instead of sideways, right? And they would endeavor to explain that to me. So yeah, I mean, as a kid, it was really fascinating that, oh, ganun pala na, there are reasons why the things I see around me are the way they are. No? Plus, when I was as early as kindergarten, I think grade schooler, na-discover ko yung mga science books sa library namin. And these happened to be these old school books. I even remember how musty the smells were, you know. But lovely, lovely. That also launched me into a lifelong love for secondhand and old books. But that's another story. So, wala yun. Marami dun sa mga librong yun, yung may mga science experiments for kids, ganyan. So, dun ako natuwa. I distinctly remember the actually tatlong experiment na tuwang-tuwa ako. First of all was how to make a barometer using a cup, a piece of rubber, and a stick. You glue the stick onto the rubber, you put the rubber onto the cup. And the idea is quite simple, no, na pag mataas yung atmospheric pressure, lulundo yung goma, so the pointer will move up. Tapos pag ano, low atmospheric pressure, lolobo siya, aangat yung, so magbabago yung pointer. So tuwang-tuwa ako dito. And siyempre, you know, nainip akong magkaroon ng bagyo. Ganyan. So, it would drive people crazy na ilalagay ko siya sa loob ng ref. Araw, tapos natutuwa lang kung gumagalaw yung pointer. Ganyan. The other thing that drove my family nuts was, ano to, yung camera obscura. So, it was really simple. It was just basically, you get a box, you punch a pinhole. It's a pinhole camera, essentially, diba? You put a pinhole in one side, tapos yung kabila, lalagyan mo ng wax paper, so parang screen. So, you can point it at a window or something, tapos reverse yung image na lalabas dun sa screen. So, tuwang-tuwa ako. But, lahat ng mga boxes that I could get a hold on sa bahay, ginaganon ko. Naubos yung mga boxes sa bahay. Pati yung mga magagandang sinisave ng lola ko. So, yun, natatawa sa akin. And then, another was a boomerang. Cool. It's just a paper boomerang. I remember, actually, yun dun ako, buti hindi ako nadali nung library na. There was a pattern in the book. That was, tinitrace ko siya lagi ng tinitrace. Tapos nabutas yung papel. So, oops. Pero yan, well, nung nireturn ko yung book, wala, well, di mo na ako napaglitan, siguro di nalata. So, but yeah, so there's that. So, as a kid, talagang tuwang-tuwa ako sa science. And I thought, when I was a kid also, that I would probably pursue a science degree. And right until the moment came to go into college, naisip ko, parang gusto kong mag-science. Yeah. So, but, you know, life had different plans for me. I found myself writing. So, yun. Ang pagdating ko doon, natuwa ko, and then I didn't look back.
Hmm. No, nabanggit mo kanina yung experiment that you did yung with the pinhole camera. Naalala ko yung one experiment I did as a kid, yung periscope naman. And, you know, of all places, nakita ko to in a Ninja Turtles magazine. I had this little Ninja Turtles booklet full of parang activities for kids and experiments. But what really caught my attention was yung concept na the Ninja Turtles, they peek through the sewers with their customized periscope. You can make one too at home. Tapos all you need is a long box and two mirrors. So, and I remember pinagalitan ako ng nanay ko kasi tinanggal ko ata yung salamin dun sa mirror niya just so I could use it for the box, for the periscope. So parang nakasira pa ako ng salamin ng nanay ko for that. But yun, naalala ko lang yung that funny experiment. Pero it really emphasizes na, you know, these little experiments, yung these activities that we can do as kids, you know, that really foster our curiosity and our interest in science. Yung, kahit yung very simple na, ay, ganito pala gumagana to. Diba? Itong very complicated looking machinery na ginagamit ng grown-ups, pwede ko palang gawin dito sa bahay.
Yes, yes. Oh, yun yung nakakatuwa. And I think it's something magical that I wish every kid could go through. No? This idea that there's so much you could do with just a few household items, diba? Explore the world, find, discover new things. And that's a wonder that I think is worth capturing and recapturing time and again. And you're right, no? It's something that deeply impressed me and that I took with me all this time. This idea na there's so much out there to learn and to discover. But more importantly, nasa kapangyarihan natin na makita yun, na ma-discover yun. We just need to scrounge together things and put them, if we just put things together in the right way, marami tayong madi-discover sa mundo. Yung ganun.
I agree. And you mentioned learning and discovery. I think that's interesting because my next question is about your professional journey. And I believe, you know, that your professional journey has been a long one of learning and discovery because I'm not going to spoil it, but can you tell us a little bit about your professional journey from when you finished college and exactly how you got into science writing, science journalism?
Okay, sige. So, as I said before, no, as a kid, natuwa ako sa science. So I thought, yeah, I'd probably go into the sciences. Pero when time came to apply for college, of course, not surprisingly, science courses, and particularly what I wanted to, I wanted to get into computer science because it was the in thing at the time. Eh, syempre, malakas yung competition. So sabi ng magulang ko, ano, etas mahina pa naman ako sa math. as a lot of us are. So sabi sa akin, ang taas ng competition eh, baka hindi ka makapasok. So what you can do, ang sabi sa akin, is take a non-quota course and then shift in. So sabi, yeah, I'll do that. So what do I like to do? I like to write. So sige, you know, to make a long story short, I ended up in creative writing sa UP. At natuwa na ako from that point on. And then, dire-diretso na ako. Hindi ko na sinubukang lumipat pa sa sciences or sa computer science. So because I enjoyed writing for the most part of my career, although geek naman talaga ako, and I always loved homebrew science specifically, no? It was just an interest. Sometimes there would be opportunities in which I could use that, no? To inform me. Like when you graduate from creative writing, ang tendency kasi inisip natin, advertising yan, or public relations, that sort of thing, or you'll end up a book editor, ganyan. And yeah, for the most part of my early career, ganun yung ginawa ko. Odds and ends, hindi there. I've been a speechwriter for one at some point. I think the closest to my career would probably have been technical editor for a computer parts catalog, ganyan. So ganun. Sometimes though, when I was in public relations and advertising, you know, we'd have tech companies as our clients. So yun, that we balik ako dun, so may inganyo. But for the most part, they were separate things, no, for me. Natuwa lang ako sa science, and whenever I could find the use for it, I'd pull it in my interest. Fast forward some years later, I found myself between jobs and I found out that GMA News had an opening. And again, to cut a long story short, when I was in there, they said, oh, you know, science geek. Well, actually, hindi pa nila ako naisip pa sa science geek. Eh. They saw my previous work with tech and telcos. And they said, hey, no one's running our technology section. So would you like to have a stab at it? And yeah, sure. And the technology section at the time, as the name implies, it was focused on consumer technology, you know, and even today, you know, that stuff sells, you know, everything from cell phones, laptops, computers, ganyan. Pero sabi ko, sa loob-loob ko, marami na tayong kakompetensya dito eh. Is there some way that we can make this space different, its own thing, something more engaging? So sabi ko, but din, and then again, the opportunity came yet again to bring in my love for science. Sabi ko, subukan kaya natin gawing science and technology. So yun, we started covering science issues in earnest. And to my surprise, it worked, you know. Generally, when you look at an online paper, no, if you break it down into various sections, ang laging pumapalo dyan, especially for a Filipino audience, would be the sports section, showbiz, you know. Syempre, yun yung laging hinahanap ng mga tao. In third would be lifestyle, ganyan. But I was pleasantly surprised nung nakita kong umaabot din doon, pumapalo din doon yung science and technology stories namin. My key takeaway here was to, first of all, it showed that people were interested. There's a niche pala for this kind of thing, science journalism, science stories. And the avenue for that is treating it as something more than just a news story. It really is a lifestyle, you know? And I think that was an insight that I saw there, no? Na kaya siguro siya around that same level as the lifestyle stories kasi napapalalim, pwede mo palang ipalalim yung yung experience mo ng agham. Na hindi lang siya, it's not just a set of data, set of facts. It's something that informs your everyday life and that can actually make things interesting on a lot of levels. So yeah, that's how things started. Tapos, successful siya. And I'd stayed in the position for 8 years na. And I thought after that, sabi ko, parang, what's next? You know, what else can I do? Naisip ko, I wanted to see what was out there. Naisip ko, why not try grad studies? Which is, for me, was something surprising. Kasi if you had asked me before all of that, like 10 years prior, I don't think I would have even considered grad studies at all. Pero yun, nagsubok ako. And that's a whole different story right there. No? Trying for stuff like this and just applying. And there were some failures then. But what was really daunting for me was when I was looking at all of the possible places to go, nakita ko yung MIT. And honestly, I was about to say nasindak ako. Hindi pa nga sindak eh. It was for me just a foregone thing. And I'm not cut out for that, sabi ko. Kasi, to be honest, you know, when I look at my own records, my own quizzes and whatnot, you know, I didn't graduate with honors. I didn't have medals. Siguro elementary, pero high school, hindi, college, hindi. I was just, an average student at best. No way am I getting into this. But the thing was, tinopak ako at the time, I sent in an application just because I wanted to be rejected. My thought at the time exactly was because I didn't think I'd get in. Sabi ko, I'm going to send in this application so that malinaw na I wanted to close that door. I wanted to see them in writing tell me that we decline your application. Para hindi ko na siya isipin. So, sinipin ko. And then I remember it was 1 a.m. Patulog na ako, tumunog yung phone ko, nagalit pa ako kasi tong spam na to or something. Patulog na ako, nagising pa ako. And it was from them. I said, okay, so finally they replied. It was 1 a.m. here, 1 p.m. kasi dun sa state, pinadala niyo email. So I said, okay, eto na yun. And then they said, congratulations, welcome to the graduate program in science writing. Like, wow, this happened, this is happening. So yeah. Nagulat ako. And it was amazing, and I mean, especially for a geek looking at a place which a lot of people think is geek central, which it really is, sobrang nakakatuwa siya. Pero ang takeaway ko dun, and this is something that I like to tell everyone that I talk to, is everyone, we are more capable than we think we are. And there's no harm in trying, really. Kasi hindi natin alam kung saan aabot yung pinato natin eh. So, sige.
Yes, very, actually, it might sound corny, but it's a very inspiring journey. Kasi para sa akin yung pinaka-interesting dyan is you didn't start out writing about science in your professional career. Pareho tayo eh. Yung kinukwento mo nga kanina na you edited some technology-related stuff. And I remember that one of my jobs back then was I wrote articles and edited like descriptions for car parts, for car parts vendors. So parang, ang weird talaga ng trajectory minsan ng buhay. Hindi mo masasabi na kung saan ka mapupunta. And parang medyo, if you take your professional journey as a story, it's kind of like a creative exercise in itself. Daming sikot-sikot, daming gewang-gewang, which takes me to like a question that I've been thinking about. Ever since I met you, because I got my start in science communication working under you sa GMA News Online, that was back in 2014, isa sa mga natutunan ko while working as part of your team is that merong space for creativity sa science communication. You can tell stories creatively. You don't have to report it in a very straightforward way. But I gotta ask, does creativity really matter when you're communicating science, and why?
Well, yeah, it matters. Well, it matters in communication in general, no? But more so in science, kasi syempre we are tasked to not just madaling kasing sabihin na ang role natin as science communicators is to simplify science, but that's not the whole story, you know. Science is, as I mentioned earlier, no, even based on my childhood experiences, is that science is a very human endeavor. I like to say that science is nothing less than the story of humanity itself. It is the story of our journey through the world as a species, you know? And it touches on so much of us. Everything can be viewed directly or indirectly through the lens of science. Our culture, our history, who we are, what we can become, where we're headed, where we don't want to go. There's so much out there that we can use. So, hindi lang siya basta pag-present ng facts. And because of that, kailangan talaga maging creative tayo dun sa communications efforts natin. Pulling back from that a bit, no? Kagaya na sinabi ko, hindi lang naman sa science communication. Well, it is a very important kind of communication. But communications in general, and I'm sure you appreciate this because, you know, you've also been through different kinds of industries, writing different kinds of things for different kinds of industries. No? It's always a challenge. It's always an exercise when you try to figure out how to make something not just interesting, no, but relatable to a target audience. You know, if you're in other advertising, even if it's something as mundane as car tires, diba? Or like I said earlier, I was as an editor for a electronic components magazine, tipong mga capacitors, electronic capacitors, diba? Transistors, ganyan, no? You have a target audience and you want to make this interesting and engaging for them. And that's, for me at least, that's a very exhilarating exercise, no? Dun talaga pumapasok ang creativity mo. I also like to say that I feel that writing is not just a noble profession, but it's also the closest I think we can get to being divine. Kasi it requires you to step out of yourself. It requires you to sympathize and empathize with your audience and with the material that you are trying to communicate. Kaya ako iniisip parang minsan natatawa yung myth nga ni Prometheus. When we think of the Promethean myth, diba, of Prometheus bringing fire from the gods and being punished for it, we don't tend to think of that myth in terms of him as a conduit of information. We simply tend to think of it straightforward. Dinlan yung apoy. Apoy. Diba? Yeah. But it's a much more complex myth than that. He was, in that myth, Prometheus was a conduit between the divine and the earthly, and he straddled those worlds. In a way, that's what writers specifically, communicators generally, science communicators most especially, are. No? We straddle worlds. Nakikisalamuha tayo, nakikinsimpatya tayo dun sa mga gumagawa ng agham at dun sa mga nakikinabang at posibleng makinabang dun sa agham.
And pero you know, with telling science stories creatively or infusing science communication with creativity, there's always that danger of, you know, unintentionally sacrificing accuracy or even with the best of intentions, making the subject matter seem like too trivial or lighthearted. And maybe that's an obstacle for some in writing science stories creatively. So how do you tell science stories creatively but effectively as well?
Well, that's a difficult thing to wrap one's head around, you know? As a practitioner, and also on another level, communicating the act of communication. If you're trying to teach it, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Because it's a sensibility that is learned, you know? I feel, and that's how I treat it when there are writers who I have the pleasure of it, like yourself back in the day. The best way to do it is, you know, just hit the ground running and then learn on the fly, you know? Break things really fast. But just put something out there, write it. Okay, well, does this work? Doesn't it work? Yes, no. Sige, how can we improve it? And then, you know, iterative process. But to answer the question directly, I think there is a tendency, especially if you're a scientist or a topic expert, to want to throw everything in the kitchen sink into the write-up or the video or whatever piece of communications that you're doing. And I respect that. No? I actually respect that instinct. Because these are people, again, you know, putting yourself as a communicator, you put yourself in the shoes of both sides, the scientist and the audience. So as a scientist naman, you know, these are people who spent months, even years of their lives studying something. Diba? Ang laking sakripisyo sa kanila nito. And their heads are filled with all of this knowledge that they know intimately, like the back of their hand. So, of course, when you ask them about it, like in an elevator pitch or, you know, or in a 500-word article, mahirap talagang, di ba talaga may pagkakasya lahat yun, no? And that decision, making that decision, what do I take out? Diba? How do I distill this? It's a very difficult task, you know? Ang siguro masasabi ko lang, for me, that decision also hinges on the other side, understanding your audience. Sino makakatanggap nitong mensaheng to? Who will receive this message? Who will be listening? Or who do I want to be positively affected by whatever this message is that I'm saying? So that helps me understand. So ako lagi sinasabi ko is the first thing I do when I sit down to write is I ask myself, who is my target audience? What do they want to know? What do they need to know? And when I find the answers to those questions, that doesn't necessarily mean na yun yung sasagutin ko. But they start off, that's a jump off point towards deciding which aspects of this big block of knowledge by the topic expert do I highlight? You know, alin dito yung magre-resonate sa kanila? So yun yung unahin natin. And then that, again, goes back, you make that as a jump off point again. Okay, you've talked about this, then let's go on to a next topic and the next topic and the next topic. So one way of looking at it, it's like breadcrumbs, throwing breadcrumbs onto the ground or leading people up to the proverbial gingerbread house. The trick is in figuring out which breadcrumbs would be the most attractive and then throwing them down in just the right amounts at just the right time to keep them moving forward with you. Because at the end of the day, they might think they're just picking up bits of info, but di nila namamalayan na sinasamahan mo pala sila on a journey towards this big thing at the end, big reveal na ito yung punot dulo nun, kaya tayo naglakad dito sa path na to because this is what I wanted to show you. And that big reveal at the end, kahit isang tao man lang yung mamangha doon, magulat, matuwa, yun. That journey was worth it.
Yeah. Mission accomplished. Yeah. You've talked about creativity. Let's talk a little bit about inspiration. Specifically, how you find inspiration in telling science stories, both in the way you tell them and in what science stories to tell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when I started out, it was pretty straightforward. Because I was a science geek. Uy! Exciting too, so I'll follow that. It starts out that way, no? I think it, especially when you're starting out, not just as a science communicator, but as a communicator in general, as a writer in general, the easiest path towards that is thinking about yourself as a part of your audience, no? Na kung lahat kami, ganito kami, what would interest me? What would excite me? What what topic would excite me or what aspect of this issue excites me. No? Pero, syempre, hindi tayo tumitigil doon. Just like a muscle that you need to, you know, to develop and build up over time. Eventually, you have to start thinking about people who are not part of you directly as an audience, other audiences, other kinds of audiences. But the basic exercise is still the same, you know. When you start a story, you figure out, where is my audience coming from? Who are these people? So advertising, they even have this thought experiment, di ba? Yung knowing your target audience, yung isipin mo, sino ba yung gagamit nitong produktong to, itong baretang to? Sino ba si Aling Nena? Mm. Anong oras siya gumigising sa umaga? Anong pinapanood niyang o pinapakinggan niya sa radyo, di ba? Anong klaseng kapainom niya? Eh, these seem so far from, ano, you know, from the actual point. They seem trivial. But the point is, you build up a clear image of the person in your mind so that when you get to work selling that product, you know how to frame it para comfortable sila. So the same principle applies with the stories that we write, that I write, science communication. Even as a news writer, when you're writing for a publication, iniisip mo, sino yung usual na bumibili ng dyaryo na to? Or sino yung usual na pumupunta sa webpage ko? What kinds of things do they do? What time do they wake up? What time do they commute? What time do they open their laptops or their phones? You know, do they use phones more than laptops, diba? What other web pages do they go to before they go to mine, diba? What are their hobbies, ganyan? So those help inform your decisions for what to write. Halimbawa, kunwari, kung geeky yung audience mo, tapos alam mo na uso ngayon, kunwari, ang Spy X Family, kunwari. Hmm. Diba? So, okay. So, Spy X Family, there are things there, spies, children's education, you know, memory, you know, you can look at it that way. Then you look at what the material you have, no? What aspects of, that's one way to do it. One is looking at things that your audience are interested in and figuring out how can these be viewed through the lens of science. So yun, going back, you know, if our target audience are geeks, uso ngayon ng ang anime na to, okay, what aspects of that anime could be explained through science, diba? So then you can have something as straightforward as the science of the MCU, diba? The science of Spider-Man, ganyan, diba? Flip side din naman dun is looking at the science and figuring out what aspects of it seem like or relatable to something that your general audience is interested. So, kabalik-baliktad naman, di ba, na, what's a good example of that? Off the top of my head, a few years ago, there was like stories, and this is a technique that I did a lot as a GMA. Huh? Say there's a discovery of some kind of plant, for instance. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a specific example, but say, for instance, there's a plant, and then it has leaves, and it glows, and it looks a lot like the flower na ginagamit sa, ano, sa Black Panther. So, mm-hmm. Hey, then we could use that as a jump off point, di ba? Na, have we discovered the secret superpowers? Parang ganun, di ba? Yeah, you can use that. So, basically, what I'm saying is that you start out by figuring out what your audience is interested in, use those interests to move them in the direction to say na, hey, this science fits into your interest. Or baliktad naman, although it probably arrives at something similar, looking at the raw science and then seeing how that can insert into their interests. So, parang ganun. That's an easy way to do it.
Yeah, actually, that I remember a couple of my earliest assignments from you when I was working for GMA were about zombies. Kasi nung when I started working sa GMA, kasi katanon ng Walking Dead. So medyo trendy yung ano. And I think that was like end of October, start of November. So two of the articles, I think those two articles were six people you want with you during a zombie apocalypse and the real world science behind zombies. And then I remember pulling a lot of Walking Dead references or references to zombie apocalypse games and video games and whatnot. So talagang I really agree with everything that you said. But as a tech geek and a science writer, I gotta ask you, medyo apocalyptic scenario but not really? Like in a sense, I guess you can say medyo it may or may not signify the end of something. What are your thoughts on AI right now, specifically yung AI being used as a writing tool? And does it fill you with wonder, fear, or a bit of both?
Honestly, both, no? Because we don't know what's out there. I like to think something that I tell myself a lot from experience is that, you know, from my own experience, I've seen that the future can be scarier than we think, but also better than we imagine it will be. Diba? Case in point, no? Itong mundong ginagalawan natin with all of this disinformation and the problems, social and physical, mental problems that social media has brought. Huh? Mm-hmm. No one could have, if you go back 100 years, no one could have seen this coming, you know? All the dystopias that were predicted then, none of that, absolutely none of that could have foreseen the rise of social media as it is, diba? Yeah. And yet, there are spots of hope, you know? We live in a world where generally we have better health overall, better healthcare. And still, now, despite all the misinformation and disinformation out there, it's amazing that we have the technology to transmit and preserve data at the speed of thought, right? So, lagging ganun, there's stuff to be hopeful for, there's stuff to be scared about. So, answering the question directly about AI's role, ano siya, right now, we are still coming to terms with it kasi sobrang bigla ang tumating yung technology. Yeah. And this is a pattern that we've seen throughout history, no? When a disruptive technology comes along. We've seen it happen with the printing press. We've seen it happen with telegraphy, with radio, with TV. Even with social media, every time a new technology comes along, there is a sense of discomfort. There is a sense of not just jobs, but aspects of our lives that are changed or outright replaced. And these concerns are valid. Pero, kagaya ng sinabi ko, meron ding mga pumapalit, meron ding mga bagay na lumalabas na hindi natin na-foresee. So in this case, may mga nagsasabi, no, ChatGPT and its kind are specific. I mean, for the death of, will be the death of writers. Maybe not. We have to wait and see. Pero kung ako, iniisip ko is, ang importante doon, yun, maging vigilant tayo. Tayo na keep our eyes peeled, not just for the pitfalls, but also for the opportunities that arise. This echoes, I think, very nicely. Like, for instance, a very concrete example, kumwari, nung lumabas ang photography in the 1800s, diba? A lot of painters thought, that's it, you know? I mean, who's going to buy portraits now?
Mas anymore, yeah, wala na.
Photo, diba? But later on, fast forward years later, a century hence, we see them going side by side, diba? So, may posibleng mangyaring ganun in moving forward, diba? And katulad nan, sa AI ngayon, although my own sentiments about it are still up in there because I really need to sink my teeth into it, this whole idea, for instance, of how to talk to AI, no? Yeah. How to prompt it to give out, ano, that's not easy either. Mm. Diba? There is a certain complexity, there's a certain difficulty involved, and it also requires some kind of thinking. How do I couch my prompt so that it spits out or delivers what I envision in my head? Diba? And you can imagine moving forward that the skill would be something that would be expanded, would be needed more of moving forward. So yeah, we don't know where that will lead, but ultimately there is the potential for these to be tools that we can use to enhance writing, enhance the arts in ways that we don't see just yet.
Right. So from looking to the future and to the unknown, let's go back to the present a little bit. Maybe you can tell us, you know, about your work as the head of UP Diliman's science communication team. What exactly do you do?
Well, I head the science communication. So it's a very fascinating challenge because it is essentially being the, well, not myself entirely, but actually the team, forward-facing, the public-facing side of the college. No? Put simply, it is our task to promote to the public the research and developments of the college. And I am very excited about it because it's an interesting reversal from my role previously as a science journalist. Although the basic skills are still there, no? Pero when you're pursuing a story, not just as a journalist, you know, as a writer in general, laging mahirap look, you know, find, you know, sniffing out a story, as it were, di ba? Mm-hmm. Figuring out where to look for a story. And then there's always that nagging feeling na baka may nangyari somewhere out there or maybe there's some discovery out there na hindi ko alam, na hindi ko pa nababalita. So imagine being at the heart of a research institution and then, you know, all of this happening all around you, just within, almost literally within arm's reach. So parang, wow, this is so exciting. So it's a very refreshing challenge. Well, to actually, yung problem is sobrang dami ngayon nung ano, pwedeng isulat. Di mo natuloy alam, di namin tuloy alam ano yung paprioritize namin at paano namin ipaprioritize. Kung pwede nga, I think that goes right back to what I was saying earlier, which is also why I sympathize and empathize with scientists who really want to throw everything but the kitchen sink into their communications. Kasi pag nandun ka, when you're right there seeing everything, but oh my God, people have to know this. Why don't people know this? They have to know. And then look at all this wonderful stuff. Diba? Pero yun, I mean, it's a matter not just choosing your battles, but you know, taking a step and saying, okay, sige. Breadcrumbs, a step at a time. What do I put out there first? So yeah, so basically, the College of Science, not just, to be fair, no, not just UP, lahat tayo, lahat ng universities natin. No? I mean, imagine palang all our universities, all the hundreds of engineering science graduates, lahat yan, meron silang research papers, diba? Lahat yan, meron silang projects. Engineers, you know, they have projects. So there's really so much going on out there na hindi nakocover. Eh. So yeah, so exciting just figuring out what to put out there.
I know you most for your science communication work. We've been friends for so long and, you know, we've worked together. But you also dabble in a lot of other things as well. You have other creative projects, some related to SciComm, some not so much. So maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. The closest, I think, would be science fiction, although I haven't written recently. But that's also an interesting topic because I feel that there is a, not just a space, but a need to cultivate science fiction as an adjunct to science communication. Kasi kung titingnan natin, in the West, no, and this is really apparent, there was a survey by the American Association for the Advancement of Science, I think in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, or 2018, where they surveyed U.S. scientists and they were asked, how did they get into sciences? And if memory serves, at least a quarter of them said they were inspired by science fiction, Star Trek, comic books, and Star Wars. So there is a space for picking the imagination. And that's something that I would like to explore. So the simplest way for me, because I'm a writer, to do this is to write future sci-fi. So years ago, actually that was almost 10 years ago, even before I joined GME, I wrote a story called Sky Gypsies. And the premise was pretty straightforward. What if the Bajau were conscripted as miners in the asteroid belt? And it's cool that the science has actually borne that out. Scientific studies have shown that Bajau physiology enables them to survive harsher environments than regular people. No? So it was an interesting exploration of the cultural dynamics and even to a certain extent, the physical dynamics of what it would be like, cultural, physical, political, actually, now that I mentioned, dynamics of what it would be like moving forward into that not too distant future. No? Which brings me to the practice of futurism, which I was pleasantly surprised. I recently joined up with the Association of Professional Futurists, which a large part of it resonates with my interest in science fiction. Because a lot of science fiction looks at, especially what we call hard sci-fi, it looks at, given current conditions, current technologies, how would these affect society and culture in the near future and in the long-term future. And as a writer, as a creative writer, I always took for granted that, of course, that's what you do with sci-fi. But I was pleasantly surprised that there is actually a profession where this is all laid out, not just in steps, in this whole rubric of looking at society. And this is something that I'm currently exploring then, futurism as a profession. And this is something that I was really excited to get into because a couple of years ago, I helped with the title of the document is Pagtanaw 2050, Philippines Foresight. Basically, technically speaking, a foresight document, especially one like this, which was formulated by the National Academy of Science and Technology, it basically looks at, just like we were saying earlier, it looks at current conditions and trends of science, technology, and innovation in the country, and then looks forward 30 years from now, okay, where do we want the Philippines to go, to be what we want to be, and then looks at what steps you need to take given these conditions so that we move towards that preferred future. And understanding that there's actually a rubric for this, it's a very fascinating field. Futurism as a profession is a very fascinating field. That's something that I'm very interested in because it dovetails nicely into my interest both in science fiction as a creative writer and in science communication as a profession.
Right. So, yeah, I'm sure that some of our listeners, maybe they're interested in communicating science too or writing their own science fiction stories or get some stories about your previous experiences. What are the best ways to reach out to you?
I'm on Facebook and Twitter, TJ Dimakali. You can also reach me through Gmail, tj.dimakali@gmail.com.
Right. And if you can give one piece of advice for people out there who want to pursue a science-based career, whether it's as an actual scientist or communicating science or something related to that, what would your advice be?
My advice is twofold. First of all, just keep throwing shots. You know, you never know what will land and where you'll get, where you'll go. And huwag kayong manghinayang sa mga interests niyo and even the shots that fail. Because there's no complete failure. There are things that you learn and you pick up that might seem useless right now, but will be invaluable to you going down the line. Yeah. And a lot of life, I think, is being creative in that sense. Figuring out on the fly how to put together these blocks, these Lego blocks that life has handed you in ways that no one and not even yourself could have thought was possible. And yeah, you can surprise yourself.
Awesome. All right. Thank you for letting me pick your brain for the better part of an hour and for sharing all of that wisdom and your stories from your own experiences. I'm sure our listeners learned a lot from your story. And I hope we get another opportunity to talk. Hope you'll be open to being on the podcast again at some point.
Definitely. So exciting.
Yeah, feeling ko dami pa natin pwedeng pagkwentuhan eh. Right? Marami pa tayong pwedeng pag-usapan. But for now, I just want to thank you for being here. I'm very happy that you're finally, I was able to feature you here on the podcast. And, you know, take care, stay safe, keep in touch, and hope we can work together again soon.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ask Theory. Follow Flip Science on Facebook, at Flip Science PH on Twitter, and at Flip Facts on Instagram. And check out our official Shopee store if you want to get copies of our books, Historiang Científico and Science Scramble. Stay curious.